Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
I bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you listening on a Thursday. And today, I'm going to call it Fallout Day, Mike, because as pitchers and catchers reported yesterday for our Atlanta Braves, and we had on Hall of Famer John Smoltz to talk about all things baseball, one of the questions we asked him was, what do you think this fallout's going to be with the Astros sign-stealing scandal? And he said, fellas, this is going to go on all season long. Well, today was the first day, Mike, that this fallout happened. And it happened because the Astros reported to spring training. And they had their owner, Jim Crane, who fired everybody. And their new manager, Dusty Baker, who happens to be a friend. And I think they did hire a good guy to hopefully transition from this. But it's going to be an uphill battle. And the thing that bothers me the most about this is, I'm watching these apologies today, Mike, and I know you and I both talked about this. And if you guys didn't see, we'll play a little bit of this for you coming up a little bit later. But there was really no remorse. Like I love Jose Altuve as a player, right?
Right.
I used to.
Well,
that's the thing. I love these young guys that have been a part of this Astros turnaround and this run. And we aspired, as a matter of fact, a few years ago. We were saying, Braves, this is what we want to be. This is why we're going through these 90-loss, you know, seasons. And lo and behold, we've kind of become that way. Our young guys have blossomed, and now we're, you know, in this window of what are we going to do? But I digress. This apology was useless to me today. And, Mike, I don't know how you feel about it, but I saw this and was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We're talking about, you know, crisis management is a cottage industry. And, you know, people pay consultants. You know, you saw the situation with the Catholic Church. They even reached out to the saints about how you handle public relations or not to. And I'm just saying to myself while I'm watching this, and you and I were both watching on MLB Network, I'm like, what are you saying? And don't say some of these things. For instance, you know, asked about the outcomes of the games. And the owner saying, you know, we've got a really good team, and we don't think that this affected the outcome. Where the rest of baseball is going, wait a minute. You know, at home, you got a chance to know what's coming. If it's an off-speed pitch and there's two or three of those in every at-bat, you know, you got a hell of a chance to break even at the dish. Our opinion is that this did not impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that. No, you can't leave it at that. So as you said, Carl, you're better off not even going down this road. John Smoltz touched on it. Media. You say you're going to slump. I said this to Carl before the show today. Let's say one of the Astros, Carl, gets off to like a 2-for-19. So is it more difficult now you don't have the signals at home? I mean, you're going to see guys getting hot. You're going to see those Ryan Leaf moments in the clubhouse because it's going to be relentless. And any time you go on a road trip into a new city, boom, here it comes. So, I mean, they have put themselves in this, and deservedly so.
All right. So that is why, you know, today is the day we've all been kind of waiting for. I just simply didn't get what I thought they should have done. Yeah. And I think a lot of baseball fans and a lot of people who follow sports are going to be saying the same thing once you get a chance to hear some of this. I just don't know who is advising the owner, Jim Crane, to say what he said, which is exactly what Mike laid out, and it didn't affect games. Of course it did.
Why did you do it if it didn't affect games? Why be involved with it if it doesn't have an effect on the outcome? We all do things based on the outcome, right? You don't do it just to get into it because, well, it's fun. We're going to beat on this drum. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
You get into it because you know by beating on that drum, okay, it allows my hitter to know what's coming up, and then it allows him to have better odds of hitting the baseball. Anyways, we'll hear and talk more, plenty about that. I do want to start locally, though, Mike, with a couple of teams that seemingly, I don't know if they're going in different directions or not, but we talked a little bit about Tom Crean the other day. But Georgia Tech, man, and we say this all the time, give us something to talk about, and we love talking about Tech. The basketball program as a whole on the last, you know, few years has been up and down. And you had the off-the-court stuff, which I think they've gotten past. But Georgia Tech upsets number 5 Louisville last night. And it's probably, you know, you talk about the biggest win in Josh Pastner's time there. Mm-hmm. Now, they did beat North Carolina, I think. You go back in his first year in 2017, there were a couple upsets. But this is a big one because Louisville's a team that could easily be in the Final Four here in Atlanta. And then you look at Georgia, who was blown out of the water again. And you look at this and you go, South Carolina 75, the Dogs 59. And then Tom Crean's like, well, we weren't ready to play. This is what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I had that picture of the comments of the media out in Athens the other day that Seth Everson posted. Tom Crean looks like he's ready to kill somebody because, you know, this is the reality of it. You know, you get the big recruit. Pastner's basically admitted to us in that interview last year he's not getting those guys. So he's getting good guys, but he's not going to get like the Anthony Edwards just yet, you know, until he really gets things cooking.
Yeah.
But you get an Anthony Edwards, you got to maximize that. You got to find a way to take that to the at least a March Madness, you know, trip, Carl. At least get in the tournament. And now you're probably lucky if you get in the NIT. So that's a huge disappointment for Crean. And no indication based on what just happened yesterday that anything's going to change to turn it around. What do you take from Tech? They're still under 500.
Yep.
16 ranked opponents have lost to unranked opponents this year. That's 10 more than last season, which kind of shows you the state of flux college basketball is in. Not trying to discount it. I just hope that Tech builds off it.
That's a great point, Mike. You know, we talk about parity all the time. Is there more parity now in college basketball than there ever has been? Yes, because you've got one and dones, and you've got, you know, a team like Dayton, who I know most of you haven't seen, that will be a team that will compete this year for maybe an Elite Eight or a Final Four spot, that have a bunch of older guys that we've talked about this, have been there, nobody's leaving. You get a couple of transfers, Mike, and all of a sudden you've got a team that can make a run. Being 12-13, still under 500, but 6-8 in the conference, where you take on a team in Louisville who's 21-4 and 12-2 in the ACC, it's a good win. You take a good win when you can get it. But that's the question, is how does it make Tech fans feel? Because as much as we talk about the energy in which Jeff Collins has come with and what we think that program is going to aspire to be, where are you at with the basketball program? Because this is the thing that Tech used to hang its hat on, and right. You knew, hey, Tech basketball is going to be good. They're going to go a long way. And then, as we've talked about, things have kind of fallen off, and it's been that way for a while now, and it's kind of expected.
Well, I mean, Pastner, and we talked about this, and, you know, this is a great win. We don't want to diminish it, and you know, but big picture, you know, he's not going anywhere. Whether you like Pastner if you're a Georgia Tech alum or you don't. And, by the way, I saw our Falcons coach, Dan Quinn, was up there last night with Doug Hertz from United Distributing. It was a big fundraiser in town for a number of charities in addition to running a beer business. But Dan was at the game last night. But, I mean, Pastner's not going anywhere. They gave him, you know, a contract extension after the first year. So you're kind of locked up with him through 2023. So you might as well just hope that he can get something going. You know, like, you know, Brian Gregory was a disappointment. Obviously, you know, we talked about how Hewitt had some great moments, but then he just couldn't sustain the recruiting, and then you couldn't win on the road, you couldn't win, period, in the ACC.
Yeah.
So it's a shame. Beautiful facility. You know, they're trying to get it right financially down there. They're doing more smart things like concerts at Bobby Dodd, so they're not in the red with the athletic department. But you just hope that this, you know, like I said, something springs from this, and then maybe they can get some momentum, get over 500, maybe get a postseason, be at the NIT.
Well, you bring up Gregory, and this is the bind that Tech got themselves in, and this is not anything new to Tech fans. We're just talking about the fact that Tech upsets number 5 Louisville last night here on Dukes and Bell, and Georgia, meanwhile, is trying to, you know, they're just to tread water. I mean, it's like, oh, I got to keep my head above water when you've got one of the biggest young stars in the country. But Mike Gregory was a guy they kept way too long, right? They kept him, and it set the program back because the recruiting wasn't where it should have been because you were still paying a guy that you shouldn't have been paying. And now Gregory stays a lot longer, and then you hire Josh, and all of a sudden now you're going, all right, when's the recruiting going to kick in? So that is his biggest challenge. We've said this. You know, you can win these games, and this is good. Don't get me wrong. But at some point, he was hired to get you to the tournament. And he knows that, and he knows he's got to get players. And that's the part that is going to separate how long he ends up being here and whether, you know, he's here through his contract or not. because that's the end game. That's the end result.
And I mean, at the end of the day, he was friends with a real creep, and the guy's a mental patient. And unfortunately, you had that ickiness that was attached. That's now in the rearview mirror. Let's hope that Josh can do what he's brought to do. We had good recruiting classes at Memphis. You know, he's always been a guy that's in the mix. So, as I said, it just sucks for Atlanta fans that love basketball. Because, Carl, when I got here, it was the end of Bobby Kremen's run, that Paul got things cooking. I mean, when it's then it was Alexander Memorial, of course, now at McCamish. But when there's a big game and things are rolling, it's a fantastic venue. And I've gone to a couple of games here since they redid to McCamish. It's just a shame that here in a big city, in the ACC, you're in a metropolitan area, in the best basketball conference in the country, and you're just kind of spinning your wheels.
404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, guys. It is 929, our station, and that's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. He is Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up. See, Dukes, the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. We're going to talk more about this coming up as part of our dog report and get a little bit more in-depth to this because I will say this, and we've been talking about it. Tom Crean cannot – Mike, you can lose games. You can't get embarrassed.
Right.
And you see how the Dogs have lost games over the last few weeks, whether it was blowing a 20-point lead at Florida, having a lead at Alabama and losing it, and then we talked about it. South Carolina should not be beating you by 20. Okay,
right. And they blow big leads. The supporting cast doesn't. They fall apart. How much of that is coaching? I mean, the good thing for Tom Crean is, you know, last year no one had any expectations. But when you get a big time recruit, everyone pays attention, or at least they try to. And then most Georgia fans that I'm friends with, yeah, basketball back to being what it is. It's a shame because again, that's another place where, you know, they put some money into Stegman. It's not Stegosaurus anymore, and that can be a great environment. It's like anything else, Carl. You can make it anything you want. If you pump it up and become where people want to go see Georgia basketball and it's a thing. But that's the thing with Crean. You're not going to get 4 years. He might not make three. You know what I mean? The good news is most Georgia fans could give a crap about the men's basketball program. That's his saving grace, to be quite honest with you.
Well, here's the thing, though. And I brought this up, I think, last week when we were talking about the Dogs and talking about Tom Crean. Why is it that other schools that are considered to be football schools in this conference do care? And they are winning.
And figured it out.
And it matters. And for Dog fans, it's just a second thought. If you feel that way, and again, I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I do think Mike's on to something when you say you talk to the average guy, it's, all right, who's quarterback? I get it. It's a football school. But at the end of the day, why is Auburn winning and going to tournaments and going to Final Fours, and it's a big stinking deal, but yet, well, George, you don't care. I don't buy that.
You know, LSU had Ben Simmons on a bad team. Look where LSU is now. I mean, you look at Auburn, you look at Alabama. Carl just laid it out. There's no reason Georgia can't do that. So, I mean, and by the way, if Crean doesn't get it cooking.
Tennessee a couple of years ago.
And Tennessee's back in the mix. But if Crean can't get this on track, I mean, what's the next stop? East, West, Northwest State? You know what I mean? You're going to run out of being, big time. You're no longer going to be a name in college basketball.
Yeah.
You're going to be a has-been.
Vandy, I get it. It's Vandy, right? They're 1-10 in the conference. Dogs are 2-9. I mean, so, and Missouri at one point had one of the best basketball programs in the country. They're at the bottom of this conference. But when you talk about the top part of this basketball conference, Mississippi State is better at hoops than Georgia? I mean, come on, man. So that's part of this discussion is things got to get straightened out pretty quickly. All right, coming up, we're going to get to some headlines. Also, you'll get a chance to hear from Lloyd Pierce, our head basketball coach. If I was to say this is the halfway point, Mike, technically it's not. We said this. It's not, you know, the splitting point of 82 games. But we're getting to the All-Star break this weekend. Trey will be involved in that. How would you evaluate Lloyd Pierce halfway through?
Yeah, he's had some ups and downs. I think, you know, we've been kind of handling Lloyd with kid gloves for the first half of the season. He's got to be better with defensive rotations. Sometimes his substitutions make no sense when he's taking Trey off the court. Something as basic as inbounds plays. You know, there's in the losing streak and all the bad things that happened when Collins was out, there were also some winnable games where the coach kind of screwed things up. So he's not exactly dazzling anybody right now either, my brother.
All right, speaking of Lloyd Pierce, you'll hear what he has to say next. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Mike and I were just talking about, you know, the coaching carousel in college football. We're going to get more into this in the Dog Report. But Colorado is now looking for a coach after Mel Tucker, who was a former Georgia assistant in D.C., goes to take the Michigan State job. And, you know, they're talking about guys like Eric Bieniemy. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm waiting for a head coaching job in the NFL, right? This year wasn't the year. There should be no excuses next year as you move forward. You've had Pat Mahomes and the development of him. You've won a Super Bowl now, calling plays. We'll see. But we were just talking about some of the candidates, and guys like Derek Mason are being thrown around out there who's at Vandy. Mike, I don't know if he's won enough to take the Colorado job.
No.
And then they're talking about guys like Troy Calhoun, who was a longtime Air Force coach. You know, he's familiar with the area. Yeah. And they're throwing out all these names.
In other words, he's recruiting the Rockies in the West.
Yeah. Steve Sarkisian, by the way, his name has been thrown out there.
You know, Steve is in a different world than he was when he has his personal issues when he was at USC and before that at Washington. So maybe he gets the redemption call. We'll see.
Jim McElwain.
McElwain? Shark Humper?
Yes. McElwain. Familiar with the area.
I don't care what anybody says. That's not an off-duty cop. That's Jim McElwain on top of that shark. Hey, by the way, I was talking last night, and you and I were talking about this yesterday or a little bit at the end of the show. Anybody out there, Jeff Schultz, who's going to tweet, oh, yes, he's a con man. Oh, shame, Mel Tucker. Shame. You're telling me you're going to double your salary and go back to where you've got family roots and you're not going to take that job. No, you're going to go, no, the sanctity of this commitment I made to these young men, I can't do it. Get the hell out of here. Mm. Who are you trying to kid? I was talking to a couple of listeners. A lot of guys agree with me, Carl, that now with the transfer portal, it's not as egregious as it might have been. And not everybody's going to get the transfer out. And, yes, it still stinks. But kids now have more, you know, they've got more leeway if a coach pulls a fast one on them. But who out there is, let's be honest, and be straight with me, Carl. Who out there is not going to be able to go to your wife and go, hey, honey, what do you think? Double our salary and get a guaranteed contract. What do you think? No, you made a commitment to those kids. Get out of here. Maybe, you know, and I understand where maybe back in the old days, and yes, your bond, your word was your bond and your commitment, but come on, Carl, you got to take that money and run.
If you're not, you're dumb. And I just think in any profession, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. You're driving around right now listening to us, and I come to you and I say I'm going to double your salary for you to doing the same thing. You just got to move to Michigan. You're gone. Because that's the age and day and age which we live in. And I don't blame coaches for it. I just wish the system, which it has become a little bit more fair, was fair for the kids. Because that's the part we always talked about. You know, and I've had that happen, Mike, where I can speak to this. And Randy McMichael and Hugh and all these guys that have played, where coaches are in your living room telling your parents how they're going to take care of you. And that's the part that pisses people off when they go, and wait a minute, now you're leaving. So you have all of this, and that's just part of the game, right? You have all this love that's going on, and you're going, hey, yeah, I got your son, and we're going to take care of him, and we're going to turn him into a man, and you know what, you don't have to ever worry, and blah, 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 blah. And then 6 months later, well, coach is gone. And then, by the way, coach is not taking your phone calls. That will get you upset, but it's business. And so my whole thing has always been the player should have an out. If that happens to me, and I'm coming out of high school or whatever, and I commit, and this guy leaves, I should be able to get out of my letter of commitment and be able to be re-recruited.
And the way the NCAA has approached it now, again, with a lot looser grip on that than they had in years past, I think, now again, I can't speak for everybody at Colorado who was recruited by Mel Tucker, but there'll be a bunch of guys that are going to go in the portal and find a way out if they so desire, or maybe the new coach comes in and wins them over. I just thought, you know, Drew Pearson, look, he's been recruited in college. He played in the NFL. I mean, Drew was upset that his grandson had, to your point, had Mel Tucker in his living room. But, yeah, when Mel Tucker was looking your grandson in the eye, he wasn't being offered $5.5 million to coach MSU.
And that's the difference. So, you know, as an adult, it's one thing to look at this from a different perspective. As a 17-year-old guy who said, man, I love coach, and then he switches on you, you think he is a traitor.
The other thing is, let's just, for argument's sake, let's say you and me, right, here we are, you know, we're in a top 10 market, you know, knock wood, things are good, and all of a sudden L.A. calls, and they're going to double or triple our salary.
I'm sorry?
Again. We at least know, I've been, you and I together, we all got almost 60 years of radio together, so we feel pretty confident we can make it work in a bigger market. Mel Tucker won 5 games for Colorado.
Yes, he did.
We don't
Mike.
Even know if this guy can do the job.
A strong 5.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, if I'm Mel Tucker, I mean, I haven't really proven anything. I beat a mediocre Nebraska team at home. Yes, sir. I am now one of the highest paid. Well, I think he's not on.
You know what, though?
He's in the middle tier in the yeah. Big Ten, but still, it's a huge race.
I think Mel, and I'm glad for Mel, because we see this all the time with coaches in college football where you go, he got the job? Mel Tucker got this, I think, because of his connections and who he's worked for. You know, they picked up the phone and called a guy named Saban. They picked up the phone and called a guy named Kirby. That stuff helps you. And Mel Tucker did a hell of a job for both of those guys. And, yeah, we know you've only been in Colorado for 1 year, but you know what? Everybody we've talked to speaks highly of you. Come show us what you've got. That's why he got this job. Let's not fool ourselves. 5 wins don't get you jacked.
No, and the other guys that were out there, Luke Fickell, who was at Cincinnati, the longtime Ohio State assistant, and the other name was, they talk about Brett Bielema. Now, Brett obviously was really good at Wisconsin until he decided to get the payday in Arkansas, which was a disaster. So I don't know if I'd be that fired up. Some of the names weren't exactly freaking – I think they were freaking out Michigan State fans. It wasn't exactly like, wow, a real impressive list.
All right, we'll talk more about this because it is interesting. And I know some people feel, you know, like, hey, man, these coaches, it's not their fault. And other people are completely on the kid's side when it comes to this stuff. But we're just talking about Colorado looking for their next coach. The timing of this was the worst thing. Like, if this happens again, right at the end of the season, we're not having this conversation. So more on that coming up. It's Dukes and Bell. Lloyd Pierce on the way. You'll hear what he had to tell our morning show as he joins John Freaking and Hugh Douglas each and every week. And now that we're at the All-Star break, and Mike, we're going to analyze this a little bit later on in the show as well, because Lloyd Pierce, we just can't look at the players and say play better defense. There is an element to guys getting better and being coached up. We talk about it in college sports. We got to apply that to our NBA guys. So Coach Pierce is also, and he knows this, is responsible for these guys to get better. We'll get into all of that. Craig behind the glass, Bo Morgan producing the show. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, man, let's start first with Lloyd Pierce talking about losing last night. Did you see any of this game?
I did not.
127.
I'm very angry with the Hawks right now.
105 Cavaliers. Trey again, 27, 12 assists is Trey. But the Cavs aren't great either. They've got 14 wins, and you're getting blown out by, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 20? Here's Lloyd Pierce.
When we finally got three stops in a row, we got it to 9 points. And so from there, you know, you figure there's a lot of basketball left, and you want to be able to just manage the game and put the pressure on them. But we just couldn't, we didn't have the ability to control that part, the last 6 minutes of the game, and really try and keep the pressure on them from an offensive execution standpoint and continuing to get stops.
Yeah, the little bit I did watch, because I did not watch it all last night. I had it on, and I saw this run that he's talking about, and I went, oh, okay, now I'm going to make it interesting. And then three buckets, and it was a blowout. I mean, like it was that quick. Here's Coach Pierce talking about, you know, having a healthy team for the second half of the season, which, oh, by the way, which is why we need to see improvement.
We feel excited. I feel excited. The organization feels extremely excited about our young core of guys. And we also feel excited about adding a Dwayne and adding a Clint and adding a Jeff Teague and, you know, grooming a Brandon Goodwin. We think we have some really good parts there. We just haven't had an opportunity to see them all together.
So we will, and that'll happen next week as they get back to work against the Heat. Meanwhile, tomorrow we'll talk more about this All-Star weekend. And if you listen to our show over the years, you guys know, if you grew up in the 80s or 90s and you knew how special All-Star weekend was with the pomp and circumstance and why people paid so much attention to it, and then it kind of lost its luster, right?
Right.
And then we've said this. The NBA is doing all this tweaking to try to get some excitement back. Team LeBron, Team Giannis, the two, you know, vote highest vote getters.
Scoring at the end, reset at the end of each quarter. Yeah.
So we're going to get into that tomorrow, Mike, because I do think, you know, where does this rank when you talk about your viewing capacity when it comes to All-Star games? I still want to see the stars, but I just don't know if it was what it once was. All right, guys, let's hear the last call as Georgia Tech beats Louisville. This is courtesy of Chris Cotter.
DeVoe hits both free throws. Clock winds down. Georgia Tech with the big upset of the number 5 team in the country, the Louisville Cardinals.
It's our boy Chris, man. Good job, Chris Cotter, former Georgia Tech alum.
He, with the final call there, and as I said, a good win for the program. Anytime you beat a top-ranked team in the top 10, it's a good win. But Louisville could easily be in the Final Four this year back here in Atlanta in April. So, you know, can Georgia Tech, again, build on it? Good win for Coach Pastner in the program. But what about Tom Crean? Listen to what he says about Georgia's 75-59 loss.
Every night in this league, it's a fight. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what night. It doesn't matter what venue. Every night is a fight. And when you're not ready for that fight, and you're not ready to get involved in that fight, this is the outcome. And we were not ready to be in the fight tonight with South Carolina. It wasn't an indication of our practices. They were good.
Yeah, it's on you, Coach. We had Tom on. We had that press conference when he got announced, and Tom was selling sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, and we were all, hey, you know what? This could be good. This is the year you've got to be really special. This, you got one shot, because I don't know if you're going to get another star of Anthony Edwards' caliber next year. So, you know, you're one of the worst teams in the SEC with a guy who's going to be a lottery pick. Figure it out.
Figure it out. All right.
You know what I did watch last night?
What'd you watch, bro?
Call me a nerd. I was watching hockey. Original Six. Bruins and Canadians were playing.
Okay.
Pastrnak last night for the Bruins had a hat trick. It was unbelievable. I was going end
to
end.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, man. Just Bruins are on fire. So I was watching some NHL last night. That's what I did.
I did watch the second part of, is it McMillions?
Yes. Isn't that wild?
Oh, man.
Great documentary. If you're, Bo and I were saying yesterday during Yeah Man, No Man, there's so much murder and mayhem. If you want just good, clean, fun larceny, watch McMillions on HBO.
All right. You'll hear the entire interview with Coach Pierce coming up as we head to the All-Star break. What do the Hawks need to do to get right? Find out next on Dukes and Bell. Hey, join the Hawks during the Peachtree Night. It's Peachtree Night as they take on Miami Thursday, February 20th. Tickets on sale now. Get your tickets today at hawks.com/tickets. It is Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we're going to get into an NFL blitz at 3 o'clock, less than 20 minutes from now, guys. And the AB Apology Tour continues. But first, let's hear from Lloyd Pierce, our head basketball coach of the Atlanta Hawks. We're at the All-Star break. Hawks played last night. They lose to the Cavs. And he joined John Freaky and Hugh Douglas this morning to talk about all things Hawks related. First thing they asked him is, what are you going to do during this All-Star break?
Whenever I hang up with you guys, I'll hop in my Uber and I'm headed to the airport. And I'm going very south, try and get some sun and some beach down to the Caribbean.
You're going to take a little time off. You going to Atlantis, coach?
I'm going to St. Lucia.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice. Get take a little time off and just recharge your battery a little bit. So with this time you're taking off, Coach, do you give, like, the guys some homework to do or something, that, you know, just to keep their mind on basketball, or do you let them totally, unwind as well?
No, I think this is important. We've played, I believe it's 56 games. You have to rejuvenate. You've got to find your own juice. Each guy's got an individual plan of where they're going or what they're doing, and it's up to them. I think the most important thing is to mentally refresh. Some of the guys with nagging injuries can physically, get a little healthier with the time off, but it's kind of a downhill slope once we get back with the remaining 26 games, but it's really important for everybody to rejuvenate.
Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce joining John and Hugh this morning. We'll get into the so-called, air quotes, second half of the season here. Of course, we know it's not, Coach, in a minute. But first, I wanted to give you a chance here to shout out Brandon Goodwin and the job that he's done. And it played himself right into a two-year deal.
Yeah, I think sometimes people, that really understand the G League and that development system and the introduction of the two-way players, it's an opportunity to really expand your roster and have that availability, and having our team in College Park gives us great access. They're 20 minutes away from where we are, and we can bring Brandon up and down throughout the year, Charlie Brown as well. And Brandon just took advantage of the opportunity. We've needed a backup point guard for a while, and this is before Jeff Teague arrived. And, there are a couple games where Brandon was really instrumental in us getting some wins, but also just playing well. And he's played himself into this position. So it's just a unique and great opportunity to have a G League team here in the same city, to have a player such as Brandon who we can bring up and down. And then, he took advantage of the opportunity when we needed him to, and so he's rewarded for it.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We talked to the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks, Coach Lloyd Pierce. What are your thoughts so far on Dewayne Dedmon's performance?
I think he's been great. Last night was really unfortunate with the early foul trouble. We played 3 minutes and three fouls in that first half, so we really didn't get much out of him. But I think he's been great. And some of those things you just don't see, but we feel. It's his voice. It's his character. It's his humor. It's his understanding of the game and being in the right spot, and his energy. It's contagious, and we really need that when you have a lot of young players that are learning to communicate and learning to be at the right spot at the right time, to have a guy like Dewayne who's in the back line of our defense on the floor talking and positioning himself correctly is really, really exciting to have. And look forward to a guy like Clint Capella bringing that as well. It's going to be a minute before he's joining us with the injury. We're guessing, I guess, the end of February. But that's really the area that was of importance to us, and to have a veteran and a guy who had been here in Dewayne has been contagious and good energy for us.
Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're all excited about the idea of Clint Capella getting in here. And, Coach, that has got to be, I would think, your number one priority here in the second half. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'll let you answer it. But, you think about finally getting – Clint Capella and John Collins and Herter and Trey and Hunter and your team together on the court so that you can establish kind of a baseline for next season, correct?
It is, and it's been the biggest challenge of the season has been the availability of healthy bodies. You know, just having healthy and consistent bodies. That's just been a challenge from the start. You know, you start with John's suspension, and then you just work your way through various injuries at various times. And we feel excited. I feel excited. The organization feels extremely excited about our young core of guys. And we also feel excited about adding a Dwayne and adding a Clint and adding a Jeff Teague and, you know, grooming a Brandon Goodwin. We think we have some really good parts there. We just haven't had an opportunity to see them all together. And that's the challenge, but that's also the thing that we're looking forward to when we come back from All-Star break, primarily when we get Clint back. I think everyone's, you know, wanting to see what Clint brings us, but that's going to take a while. He's coming off an injury, and then we also have to acclimate him into what we're doing. But we are excited about who we have and what we have, and that is the challenge in the second half and after the All-Star break.
We're talking with Lloyd Pierce here as we get ready for the All-Star break, where Trae Young is going to be out there. He's going to get a lot of work. I mean, he's playing, what, in the Futures game, the Rising Stars game. He's got that new expanded three-point contest with the green balls that they're going to use. And then, of course, he's starting the All-Star game itself. Do you worry at all that he's not going to be able to rest? You say everybody's rested and recuperated, that he's actually not going to do that?
Well, you know, the beauty and the challenge of being an All-Star and being a rising player in this league is – accepting the responsibility that comes with it. And I think for Trae, this is one of those opportunities where he will have a busy weekend, not just in the events that he's doing, but the appearances, the community stuff, the dinners, you know, the endorsements. That comes with being a star. And I think he's built to handle some of those things. I think he's going to learn over the weekend how grueling some of those things can be. But that's important for him to go through this. But I definitely know he's going to represent us well. It's an opportunity for showcase his talent and his skill set for the people that haven't seen him this year, and really excited for him.
So, Coach, I know you're going on vacation and you're going to hang out with the family and everything, but how much do you really unplug from basketball? Because the question I'm asking is this: are you not going to watch any of the All-Star game?
I haven't watched the All-Star game in about 4 or 5 years. It's it's one of those events. I think it's great for the fans. There's nothing truly educational about the game. You know, when we're watching 82 of them all year, I will truly, you know, unwind and stay away and you know, not really worry about. I'll follow some of it on Twitter and see how the results of the 3-point contest are going, but that's about it.
So what are you going to – I know you're going to watch a little bit of TV. So what is your TV selection going to be this weekend when you're chilling in St. Lucia, you know, with your wife and your family? And what are you going to watch on TV? Is it going to be a TV on at all?
If there's an opportunity to watch a movie, you know, when you don't get those opportunities throughout the year, that'll be great. I've got 3 books in my bag. I hope to finish 2 of them. It's really trying to refresh for myself as well.
Damn, Coach, how many pages are these books you read? You're talking about finishing 2 over the weekend.
Well, I've got Malcolm Gladwell Talking to Strangers. I'm about halfway through it right now, just educating myself a little bit more. You find something in reading. You have to be able to educate the mind in addition to the body. And when you're in a NBA and professional sports, and you have to find the balance of how you learn and what you learn.
No, I feel you, and I understand that because, you know, even doing this job, we got to keep some balance. And my balance is video games. But you make me feel kind of bad now that I haven't read a book in a long time, so I might try to pick one up this weekend.
Yeah, about the only thing we read anymore is the computer, right?
Yeah, that's it. The computer and box scores, that's about it.
Yeah. Are you a Nook guy? Are you a Kindle guy? Or are you a hardcover guy?
I'm a hardcover guy. I do have a lot on my computer, but I like to carry. I like the feel of carrying a book because I can take that to a coffee shop or anywhere. I sit on the beach, and I'll be able to do it that way. It's just a different vibe, a different feel.
Get Coach Pierce. Got layers, like an onion. Right, got layers.
Well, enjoy your trip. We don't want to keep you from the Uber, and St. Lucia is calling. Thanks.
Have a good one, Coach.
All right, you guys take care.
There he is, Lloyd Pierce, with our guys, John Freaky, Hugh Douglas, in the morning. We'll take some time to reflect. Coach is going to get some island time, man. And hopefully these guys come back regrouped and we get a better second half of the season. Coming up, we're going to get some NFL conversation, Mike. Has he apologized to you? Because he's apologizing to everybody.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.